So when we left Oshkosh a few weeks back, James was, I believe you were headed off from Oshkosh, and you were headed to someplace in Minnesota where you were going to get the annual done on your Mooney. And you were kind of like, you know, I might have to stay a night, you know, but they're going to finish it up, and then I'm going to fly back to New York or wherever it was your next destination was. So,
you had to remind me of those foolish words.
So, James, how'd that go?
Well, first, I actually went to Chicago after Oshkosh. That was my first stop. And to be technically correct, my first stop was actually Palmyra, Wisconsin, a little turf strip where I noted on AirNav before departure that they had some cheap gas, some cheaper Avgas, $3.60 a gallon. And I called down there to speak to Mr. Agin to find out if indeed the price of gas was correct and if he'd be there. And he said, well, I'll probably be there. And then called the day I went down, and somebody else in the pattern also had seen about the gas prices and was in the pattern after me and said, well, I hope it's true. And I told him that I had talked to Mr. Agin that morning, and he assured me he'd be at the airport. And, of course, we landed, and nobody was there. But I called him, and he came right over and fueled us up, and apparently it's somehow it's owned by the people that are not municipally owned or something, so they're able to offer cheaper gas there. That was the first part. I wonder how you guys did with your Avgas on the way back.
We did fine. Dave had worked out a little sweetheart deal with the Leprechaun at Dead Cow International, so we didn't pay as little as you paid, but we paid below the going rate.
And I told Midwest Airlines to spare no expense.
There you go.
Money's no object.
So James,
there's no Jack H like
so James.
Just I am back on Skype.
Don't try and change the subject here, James. All right.
All right. Yeah. So I was getting mournful tale continued.
Yes.
Do you want me to speak on Skype?
Yeah.
At
let's
this point?
Let's give that a try here. Okay. And I'm sorry, you just can't put this off any longer. What happened with the annual?
So
wait a second. He's getting gas below $4 a gallon, which in and of itself is an achievement. So tell us what happened next.
Well, so I took my airplane to the folks at Wilmer Air Service in Wilmer, Minnesota. I've know those people from over the years being involved in the Mooney community, but I've never taken the plane there for servicing. And I roll my annuals over a month each year in the foolish attempt to kind of save about 8% of annuals over the course of the 12 years it takes to get back to the beginning. And so I was up in the area, and I thought, well, here's a good opportunity. And I like to have different qualified people look over the aircraft because everybody's always finding different things. They're all, you know, if you've got experts who know the aircraft. And they found several things. First, when they opened it up, it looked like there was some corrosion on the engine mounts. So they determined that that would have to go out for some overhauling. By the way, are you guys hearing me okay?
Yep, you're doing good. Keep going.
Okay, because I'm not hearing you so well. So I don't know if
we're
sort of gasps
sitting here in rapt
or
attention.
Laughs.
We're
reading
kind of
all this stuff.
We're kind of breathless in the suspense of what happens next.
Yes. Well, so they have that was the first major thing because they have to kind of pull the engine off, and that's going to be like 25 hours of labor just to get the engine on and off, let alone the time it would take to send the mount out for the overhaul. So essentially that threw the entire idea of having it done while I was waiting there a few days kind of dispensed with and sort of spending 2 or 3 weeks in Minnesota and Wilmer just didn't seem like the thing to do. So what I had to do was come back commercially. The folks there at Wilmer Air Service were kind enough to fly me to Minneapolis, the international airport there, and flew out of there about an hour actually before the bridge collapsed.
Oh, geez.
And came back by way of by way of Atlanta. So that shows you the economics of how the airlines are working. That, in a nutshell, is what is going on.
So what
plane is out there waiting for me, and I'm eager to get back out to it.
How many aviation maintenance units is this going to cost you?
It's going to cost many, many aviation units, unfortunately.
An AMU, for those less attuned to all this, an AMU or an aviation maintenance unit is generally referred to as $1,000.
Ah, okay. Well, that's – see, Dave, you and I got the right idea. We're not owning airplanes right now.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the kind of thing that sort of totally throws your thinking off, because you think, oh, I'm going to get in there, you know, in and out for – $3,000. I knew there was a problem with the truss that an FBO overcranked right after my last annual, and I knew that was going to have to be taken care of. But the others sort of caught me by surprise, and it's
that
the kind of thing
gear?
You just
yeah. That's a nose gear
thing.
That's
what I thought.
Yeah. So James, what's the so now it's turned into, you know, it's going to take me a day or two. To what's your expectation for time now?
I have a ticket to return on September 8th.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and that was because to leave them the time to do everything that they believe possibly could go wrong with the delays. Also, as you know from our conversations at Oshkosh, I also got the JPI unit and the GAMIs, and those are being installed in order for me to start running lean of peak effectively.
Sure.
Right.
Going back on the 8th of September because they felt that that would take care of any possibilities of any of the places they had to send parts out to not being right on the case and getting them back to them.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, you know, so, when you go out to pick up your airplane, you just have to visit with Randy Dufault while he's waiting for his annual to be done, and then you'll. I actually talked to Randy the other day. He says his. We talked about this on the podcast a couple of weeks ago, and there he actually thought his might be ready to go like now. He was actually in town here in Boston over the weekend. We had lunch, and he was saying that when he got back, knock wood, his airplane could conceivably be ready to go. So,
note to self: do not get airplane.
Excellent.
In Minnesota,
I know, right?
Yeah, I'll just take that as a hopeful sign. If Randy's can get his plane back, then by God, I ought to be able to get mine back too.
There you go.
Well, listeners may have noticed, and I've probably edited out a bunch of this stuff to try and clean it up a little bit. But James is back on his cell phone because we were fighting with I don't know if we were fighting with Skype or with his personal laptop, which was kind of struggling this morning. But he's back on Skype or back on cell phone, and we're rolling along. So is that anything else you want to add to the annual story, James? So you want to, any more excuses?
Oh,
you want
there's
to give us?
So many other little points to it. Maybe you know, each one of them, it's like a death of 1,000 pinpricks and and more aviation maintenance units than I care to think about. And you know, it's part of flying. You know, every so often you just got to get whacked, and just have to remind myself that's part of it, and that's what it takes. And what are the alternatives? To not fly, to not have an airplane, that's unacceptable as far as I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
there you go.
That's a shame. Depending on how you, you know, I say you, James, I mean any aircraft owner, depending on how they operate the airplane and where they get their maintenance done, you can certainly defer things. And an annual inspection, of course, is just an inspection. It's not... you're going through, you're identifying things that may or may not need work. Airworthiness items obviously have to be addressed. Some things can be deferred. I don't know that I would defer, for example, a corroded engine mount. But every now and then you just got to do a catch-up annual, and this sounds like your turn in the bucket.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think you're right. And you see other tales of war out there that make you feel, well, you know, it's not so bad for me. They showed me some others that had come in for inspections or a little bit of routine work. One, an F model that they found corrosion in the wing spars. What does that mean? They actually will have to take the wings off of that to repair it. And you're getting to a repair where you're looking at something that's probably over half of the value of the aircraft.
Right.
And what does an owner do at that point?
Taking the wings off a Mooney is a serious project.
That's right. This is huge.
Big time, serious project.
What makes it more complex on a Mooney?
Well, the I have never had a Mooney apart. I've looked at them, and a buddy of mine and I had a derelict Mooney that we went through and decided to part out at the end of the day. We were going to try to rebuild it. But we had some sheet metal work to do to it, and specifically some tubing in the fuselage cage, the cockpit cage, needed to be replaced. And that was going to be a major project, but nothing we couldn't handle. But we thought at one point about pulling the wings off and trucking the airplane to a different location that was more convenient for the both of us. And on a Bonanza, for example, there's 8 bolts per wing. 4 bolts per wing. 8 bolts total, and the wings are off,
They attach to a bathtub section that's built into the fuselage.
Right. But the Mooney, the spar, is, I believe, one piece, or there's something.
That's one piece spar carry through. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Right, and it just makes the whole project much more cumbersome and obviously much more expensive.
So you're saying when I flew in your airplane that the wings are not very well attached is what you're talking about?
No, I'm saying that various aircraft designs have various different attachment methods.
I see.
There has never been a failure of the wing attach bolts on a Bonanza or a Baron. There have been some failures on King Airs. Obviously, the loads and the weights and everything else involved in a King Air is a lot greater than a Bonanza or a Baron. So years ago, there was an AD for inspection inspection, I think it was, strap was engineered to go underneath the wing on certain King Airs, and same kind of strap mechanism was considered for Bonanzas and Barons, but they decided against it for that reason.
Uh-huh.
When you were in my airplane, Jack, everything was cool.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Except the pilot.
Yeah, well, it is comforting to know that you've never lost a wing in flight. I do take note of the fact that this is a stat you're apparently tracking, so.
Mooney wings. Mooney wings are famous for their strength, their structural integrity, the fact that it is a carry-through spar, and it is very tightly attached. The whole airframe is kind of riding on that and bolted to that. And then when you get into a situation with corrosion in that carry-through spar, again, so what do you do at that point? Because you're talking a major fix. Do you cut that part out? Do you bolt other pieces onto it? I mean, that's also an issue that has to be dealt with on an individual basis, and that's one of the things that makes it's so strong, but such a tremendous headache if, my God, you find that there's been corrosion going on that your maintenance shop hasn't been picking up on for a few years.
Yeah. James, do you recall where the Mooney in question, where that corrosion was on the spar?
It was in the middle section of it.
Uh-huh.
So if you take the seats and everything off, uh-huh, you know, and get down, it was that part was corroded. It was around some bolts that were going into it, and just I didn't look closely, but that's in the general area where it was.
Okay, so the forward spar or the rear spar?
It's the main carry through spar.
Okay, yeah.
There's one main carry through spar.
Yeah, what happens? Whether it's a Mooney or a Bonanza or, any low-wing airplane like that, and perhaps even some high wings, especially if the airplane sits for a while, excuse me, you get some moisture in the cabin, under the carpets and whatnot, and it doesn't evaporate, and it starts to eat away at those metallic parts, and that is a, quote, bad thing, unquote. I've seen that before. That derelict Mooney that I spoke of earlier had some surface corrosion on the rear spar, and we were kind of scratching our heads over what to do about that. In the end, it was not going to be a problem because, as I say, it was just surface corrosion. But it could very well have been something sufficient to condemn the airplane.
Well. Well,
and yeah, and then at some point, if you own that airplane, you got some real hard choices to make.
Yeah,
exactly right.
Yeah.
Well,